That's right, that's right. This is the Big Angry Phil podcast, and this is number 54. Now, you realize how stupid people are on any given day. When you crowd them all into an airport, for some reason their brains don't come in with them. I'm not even talking about the TSA. We know how dumb they are. I'm talking about the general flying public. No wonder they treat us like children, because we fucking act like children. Or even worse. You walk in the door and everybody goes, duh. Well, I've got my bags packed. I'm ready to go. What's everybody else's fucking problem? You can't read signs. You can't read the monitors. You have to ask every stupid question there is. You have no idea where you're going. What are you doing here? Stay home. That's right. I'm going to talk about air travel. I just got back from Boston, so I saw a lot of this shit going on. Although it doesn't really matter what airport you use or what city you fly out of or into. Stupid people at the airport is universal. What is it about the airport that turns dumbasses into dumber asses? Let's start when you walk into the airport. I am fucking amazed that there's still a line in front of the ticket counter. Why? Haven't you fuckers heard of the internet? On most airlines, especially the ones I fly at, you could check in a day early. You do not need to stand in that fucking line. Now, I know most airports did away with the curb baggage service, but still, if you've checked in ahead of time, there's usually a separate line. You can just walk right up, dump your bags, and be done. These fuckers standing in a line and going up and going over their seat assignment and all this shit with a ticket agent. Get with the fucking times. You don't need to do that anymore. Why are you so afraid of electronics? You're certainly not afraid of getting on Facebook and sitting on that all day, but every other app seems to scare them shitless. I am fucking amazed at how many people still use paper tickets from the travel agency. Who uses a travel agency anymore? Jesus Christ, I haven't used a travel agency in at least 15 years, if not longer than that. As soon as the internet made it available to buy your tickets, pick your airline, pick your seat, what the fuck do we need travel agencies for? You figure out where you're going, you could look all that shit up online, and there's no shortage of fucking travel websites, for Christ's sakes. I couldn't believe at the gate how many people were passing through with tickets, actual fucking tickets. I'm not talking about the ones you print out at home. I'm talking about tickets that you get in the mail from your travel agency. Get with the goddamn times, man. You people are the reason air travel is so fucking slow and the lines are so fucking long. I flew on Virgin America to Boston to go to Alex Vermilbre's memorial dinner. First time I ever went to Boston. And the first time I ever flew on Virgin America, I heard good stuff about him as I did my research online. I always book air travel through the airline itself. I don't use Travelocity or any of that shit. Because a lot of times they'll put you on a really fucked up route just to save you an extra $25. Nah, fuck that. I look right on the airline website. I'll have three or four of them up there, and then I'll compare prices. And for this particular flight, Virgin America had the best deal. And they fly direct from LAX nonstop. So great. And I've heard good things about him, so I'll give him a try. I will never, ever again fly on American Airlines. I have had enough bad experiences, delayed flights, and canceled flights with American than anybody else. So fuck American. I know everybody hates United now because they've been in the news with various stupid stories, but I've never had a bad experience on United. I haven't flown them in about 30 years, I swear. But with all the airline choices, you don't have to fly on those big airlines when smaller carriers are getting the job done. And Virgin America got the job done. They have a very easy-to-use app. You put your boarding pass right on the app there, and then they scan that. You don't have to print out anything. You know, that's become obsolete, too. Just printing out your boarding pass, you don't even have to do that anymore. Put that goddamn thing right on your phone, and then they scan it there. These people with the tickets, what are you doing? So now we're past that part. Now we go to everybody's favorite part, getting through the TSA. And this shouldn't be a hassle, but people make it a fucking hassle. You know, if you've flown more than once, since 9/11. You should know the fucking TSA procedure. It hasn't changed since. You take off your shoes, you take off your belt, you take all your shit out of your pockets, you put it in the little tray, and that's it. And you go through. Why do people not get this? It's a pain in the ass. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Yes, I agree. But you don't have any fucking choice. You have to fucking do it. You should do it as soon as you get up there. Have your shoes, all your shit off, and then when you get to the tray, you dump it all in, and you're ready to go. Now, if you fly out of an airport like LAX or Chicago or New York, anywhere that has a hood close by, you're going to get a couple of Laquishas working the TSA line. And don't tell me she's not having fun telling these white people what to do.
That what? You ain't hear me? You ain't hear me? Keep it moving. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Let's go. I ain't going to tell you again. Let's go.
You ever get that? I personally have no problem with this. She ain't yelling at me. I know what to fucking do. Yell at Becky and Amy. I've got it. I've got this. Lots of Laquishas at the Oakland airport. You ever fly out of there? Oh, boy. You ever watch that South Park episode where they're making fun of the TSA, but it's the Toilet Safety Administration?
Let me check your asshole, sir.
They got a lot of that in Oakland and Baltimore. Those two in particular. You know, I've noticed this last time. It seems like the TSA really amped up the treating us like children program. They were louder. They were more pushy. Maybe the Trump administration instructed them to do this. I don't know. Because before that, they were annoying, but not this annoying. Susie, get up there. Let's go. Move it. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Get that shit off. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're all children. We all know it. So now that you are prepared, that you've gotten your belt off, your shoes off, your jacket off, all the shit in the tray, you're ready to go. So what's holding up the line? Oh, any number of things. You got the fucking moron that's not finished with her drink.
I'm not finished yet. I can't go through.
Throw that shit away.
No, I paid for this.
Of course, it's under the guise of safety, but what they really want you to do is buy that $6 bottle of water in the terminal and not the one you brought in.
You can make a bomb out of this.
Bullshit. But for Christ's sake, should you know that by now? You should know you can't bring a bottle of liquid on the goddamn TSA belt, all right? They're going to make you throw it away, so throw the fucking thing away. And stop arguing. You're never going to win the fucking argument. You're holding up the fucking line. Can't you see there's 1,000 people behind you? You attention whore cunt. 9 times out of 10, it's always women that fuck up the line. Let's be honest here, okay? I got no time for political correct bullshit. It's women that fuck the line up, all right? If it's not with the liquid shit, it's the fucking strollers. Oh, my God. You ever get behind a woman with a stroller? Always a struggle. They don't know just to fold the goddamn thing up, put it through, carry the fucking baby through. By the way, you shouldn't have a fucking baby with you in the fucking first place. That's a whole nother issue. I'll get to that later. And then she's arguing what to do with the bottle of milk and all this stuff. It's like, oh, my fucking God. Why? Why am I always behind this same woman no matter when I travel or what airport it is? I'm always behind you. Always. You attention whore. And they know the fucking procedure, and they think they're going to do it their way anyway. Because they're used to stamping their feet and have their husband fucking do whatever they want. Now that they don't have that, they're not used to somebody telling them no. That's what the whole thing is.
How dare you talk to me like that?
Well, you know what? They're talking to everybody like that, all right? None of us like it. None of us like this part of flying, but what the fuck are you going to do about it? Either go through this shit or just not fucking fly. I wish you would have picked the latter. All right, so now you're finally through the goddamn TSA. You got some time to kill. So what do you usually do? You go to the bar, okay? And even that's a chore. The airport makes everything a chore, all right? They make these things as tiny as fucking possible. There's about 10 seats in the entire fucking place. And half of the seats have bags on top of them. You know, these fucking bitches in New York whining about man-spreading? What about cunt spreading? They got their shit all over the fucking place. Nobody bitches about that. And usually there's one guy or one waitress working the entire room, so it takes forever to get a drink. So you got to sit right at the bar or else forget it. You know, the food always sucks and it's expensive. You know, I just want to get a good drink and that's buzz before I get on the fucking plane. That's all I ask. But no, that has to be difficult too. Make the bars fucking bigger. Get rid of all the other horse shit in there. All the boutiques, all the fucking newsstands. Come on, nobody reads anything these days. All you need at the airport is gum and liquor. That's it, all right? So now we get up to the gate. And this is where the real fun starts, the real stupidity. I am always just standing in awe at the stupid questions people ask the gate agent. And by the way, why do we still need gate agents? These are things that are obsolete, all right? Gate agents used to pass out the boarding passes back in the old days, before the internet. Now they are there simply to answer stupid questions. Questions that could easily be answered if people paid attention to their surroundings. Look at signs. Look at the monitors. Look at their boarding pass. Usually all written out there. What gate to go to. What time the fucking plane boards. And if you did it electronically, like a normal person, you'd also know if it was delayed or not. But no, people can't be bothered to pay attention, so they have to engage with the gate agent. And again, it's usually attention whores or foreigners. Or old people. Holy fuck, these old people. Always unsure of themselves. Never have any confidence. If it's an older couple, forget about it. The wife will always send the husband to do her dirty work. To ask the stupid questions on her behalf. He already knows the answer. But he's too chicken shit to tell her, hey, dumb bitch, this is what time it leaves. This is the answer.
No, go ask the gate agent. Nah.
So he has to go up there and ask a question he already knows the answer to. And by the way, this goes for most couples of any age. I've noticed this everywhere. The woman will always send the man to ask the stupid question.
We'll go check. Well, Jesus Christ, it's written every fucking where.
I need a human being to tell me the same fucking answer. Again, we do not need gate agents anymore. They are just simply there to field the stupid fucking questions.
Is the flight boarding yet?
It says clearly on the screen what time it's boarding. And by the way, the screens are all electronic, so the gate agents don't even have to change any info. It's done from somewhere else. Usually it's wrong. But again, if you have a boarding pass on your app, it'll change automatically. You just look at that. Look at your phone. You know, the phone you usually stare at all fucking day anyway. How about putting something useful on there like flight information? And as soon as they make the first announcement, everybody lines up. Doesn't even matter what the announcement is. This flight will be boarding in 10 minutes. Everybody lines up like a herd of fucking cattle. You have an assigned seat. This isn't Southwest Airlines, all right? Of course, I know you're in a hurry to get your bags up there. Jesus Christ. You guys are bringing way too much shit with you. This is for the weekend. And then they say, we are going to start pre-boarding those passengers in need of special assistance. Children traveling alone. Families traveling with children. And by the way, why in the fuck do families with children get to get on before everybody else? Why are they so fucking special? They should get on based on their seat assignment like everybody fucking else. Really, they should get on last. They're the ones that fuck everything up. And of course, as soon as they make this announcement, in comes the line.
Are we boarding yet?
We just said we're fucking pre-boarding. Don't you listen? Pre-boarding. Do we call your fucking row yet? Or zone? Or group? Or whatever the fuck? Everybody thinks they get to get on ahead of everybody else. And then the useless gate agent now has to step away from the podium, start collecting the boarding passes, and answering even more stupid questions. No, we're not boarding yet. I didn't call your group.
Are we boarding yet?
No, we're not fucking boarding yet. I didn't call your group. Your group C, I didn't even start fucking boarding yet.
Are we boarding yet? God fucking damn it, no!
That's what they need to say to these people. Maybe it'll sink in. Make me a gate agent for the day. I'll straighten them all out.
We would like to begin the general boarding of Group A and only Group A.
And in comes Group D.
So now, the basic alphabet is ignored.
These people are so paranoid about missing the flight that they crowd their way to the front. And they still can't get on. You get on when we fucking tell you to get on. God damn it.
You know what happens when you miss your flight? You sit in the airport, you wait for the next one. That's what you do. It happens.
It's not the fucking end of the world. So now we finally get on the plane. And that line is moving slow as fuck because there's always some fucking idiot who takes forever putting their fucking shit up in the overhead. Again, I'm looking at you, ladies, because it's always you doing this shit.
Oh, you gotta put your jacket up there in such a way you don't want to wrinkle it. Oh, I can't lift up this bag. I wish a man would help me do this.
Well, how about not packing so much shit into it next time? Make it lighter so you can carry it and put it up there. And there's no chance of getting around them. Those aisles are thin as fuck. Most of these fat fucks that fly can't even squeeze through those goddamn aisles. And of course, since 9/11, all of these airlines have nickeled and dimed us to fucking death with all these extra fees and taxes that just make it up, using 9/11 as a fucking excuse. You know, they were trying to cover the fuel cost because after the resulting Gulf Wars after 9/11, the fuel prices went way up and the airlines were trying to cover the cost. So I could sort of understand the extra fees there, but that shit is long gone now, all right? This is 16 years later and they are still nickel and diming the fuck out of us. You have to pay extra for everything you used to get free. Just to check a bag, you have to pay. Just to pick a seat on the airplane, you have to pay. You have to pay to sit down. And by the way, I always do pay extra for the exit row, the emergency exit row in the middle of the plane. Worth it. Always worth it. Number one, extra leg room. Because there is no fucking leg room anywhere else unless you're sitting in first class. And number two, and most importantly, children are not allowed to be in the exit row. Thank fucking Christ. They really should be anywhere in the airplane. But at least that is one safe spot away from the screaming kids. And I've said this before, my idea for every airplane is this. Because we are all sick and tired of your bratty kids. You parents, you listen to me right now. We're sick of your fucking kids. They're not cute. We don't want them there. We're tired of you and your kids. We're tired of how you don't pay attention to your fucking kids. You think kids are going to fucking behave on a long flight coast to coast? They can't sit still in that seat for 2 minutes. You think they're going to be there for 5-6 hours? Come on. So my idea is this. You take the back of the airplane, last 5-6 rows, however big the airplane is, last third of the plane, okay? First thing you do, take out the seats. Kids are not going to sit in those seats anyway. They're going to run around and scream and jump up and down. They ain't sitting down. And also, this way, the parents have nowhere to sit. The parents have no choice but to be there stuck with their kids crawling all over them. And they have to deal with the other people's kids, too. See how you fucking like it. Next thing you do is you put 4-inch plexiglass in between them and the rest of the plane so you can't hear one peep coming out of that section. No crying, no yelling, no screaming, no nothing. Give them their own bathroom. Let them fuck it up. And you don't offer them any snacks or drinks. You put a little water cooler back there. A little trough. Little hamster wheel, you know, treat them like the animals they are. If they're too loud, too obnoxious, you fill that chamber full of sleeping gas. Actually, come to think of it, do that before the plane takes off. Be done with it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't you fly on an airline that does something like that? Even if American Airlines started doing that, I would fly them again. That would be the only thing to get me on another American Airlines flight if they put the childproof chamber in the back of the airplane. Please, please get that done before I die, okay? That's all I ask. Now, I will say, Virgin America, decent airline. There's a flight from LAX to Boston. That's a long fucking flight. That's one of the longest flights in the country. Because Boston is one of the easternmost cities, so it takes about 5 hours to get there and 6 to come back. They're always coming back in a headwind. Headwind. But they're a good airline if you are used to modern electronics. If you are somebody who puts their boarding pass on their phone as opposed to printing it out or getting it through a travel agency like a fucking stone-aged idiot. For one thing, they have touch screens on the seat in front of you. I mean, first, you can watch movies and all that, true, but better than that is you can order food and drinks right on the screen. So you don't have to sit there and wait for the beverage cart to roll through. You just scroll down. Some of it costs money. Some of it doesn't. Order what you want, and they fucking just bring it to you. Done. I like that. Of course, the people that still use paper tickets are going to hit the call button. I want a drink of water. Can I get a Coke? Where's the beverage cart? Ugh. that you fucking people fly Spirit Airlines where you belong, where they charge you for water. That's how they get you. The fares are low, but then they, again, they nickel and dime you. They charge you for fucking water. They charge you to put your carry-on bag up there. Ridiculous. And they also have a map that tells you exactly where you are, what time you're going to be landing, and everything else you need to know. So you don't have to ask the stewardess stupid questions. Where do we land? Never mind the fastened seatbelt sign. They should have a no stupid questions sign and have it lit at all times. Okay, so now we land and now we're taxiing in. And of course, when we get out, the stupid questions continue. Where's the baggage claim? Where do I go? There's a fucking sign. As soon as you get out of the goddamn airplane, it tells you where the baggage claim is. There's an arrow that points straight ahead. And by the way, that's going to be where it is no matter where you fucking land. The baggage claim is always going to be at the front of the airport and downstairs. But no, they have to stop and grab somebody's arm. I don't know. I'm in a new city. I don't know where the baggage claim is. I can't find my arm. I'm acting like the children. I can't control myself. You know what? I've never been to this goddamn city either. I know where the baggage claim is. It's that way. All right? If you can't figure out where baggage claim is, you should have traveled with your baggage. Just stuff your dumb ass into a pet carrier. Nobody fucking puts their pets in a pet carrier anymore. They all travel with them now. You get to bring your dog on the plane. Put him in a seat. Isn't that great? And then there's dog hair and dander and whatnot left for you when you have to sit down. But nobody can find their way in or out of the airport. There's signs everywhere, but people don't want to pay attention to the signs. They need reassurance. They need constant fucking reassurance. They need a confidence boost is what they need. Look at the signs and go in that direction. It tells you where the baggage claim is, where the ground transportation is, where the bathrooms are. Everything you need to know. If you can't get your information from the signs, then you know what? Just don't fucking travel. Hide under the bed for the rest of your fucking life. Don't even come out of your house. The world is a scary and dangerous place for the uninformed. By the way, I've never flown in, like I said, to Boston. I got out of that place very fucking quickly. I didn't have any checked baggage, so I just rolled right out of there. And by the way, Boston Airport, very well designed. I'm not talking about the terminal so much, but the runway diagrams. Runway's all crisscrossed, so planes are taken off in various directions. Very little taxi time. I was very impressed. We were on the ground maybe 2 to 3 minutes right up to the gate, right off the runway. Same thing when we took off. Rolled out of there, taxied up to the nearest runway, out of there, done. A lot of these airports, you're taxiing for what seems like a fucking hour, JFK. And sometimes LAX, especially on the south side of the field. But anyway, now I'm out of the airport, and let me tell you something about Boston. Now, it gets a bad rap, I know. It's a racist city, I know. But I gotta tell you something. Compared to New York, much cleaner city. Much cleaner. I'm talking about downtown, you know. I don't know all of the outlying areas. I wasn't there that long. But walking around downtown and around where Fenway Park is and all that, very fucking clean. No trash on the street. No pee. Doesn't smell like piss everywhere. And there were no bums. I don't know where they sweep them to. I'm sure they're somewhere. But they keep them out of downtown. I'll tell you what. I didn't have anybody ask me for change anywhere in Boston where I was. So kudos to that. I already like it better than New York just because of those reasons. No, I wouldn't move there. No, I probably won't visit again. But compared to New York, I will take Boston any damn day. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, I'll talk a little bit about the trip itself. Was there for the memorial dinner for Alex from Millbrae. Got to meet his family and his close friends. Many thanks to Robert, Alex's close friend, for setting up the event and reaching out to us to come out there. And also to his friend Mark, who lives in Greece now. He actually wrote to me on my podcast page some very touching messages right after Alex's death. And I met those two gentlemen, very nice guys, and thanks for having us there. And special thanks to his family, in particular his parents. Could be nicer people. His father, you know, my God, just to see what they went through and to hear the stories about Alex, it was really hard to hold back the tears at that dinner. You know, I don't care how hard you claim to be, you teared up during this event. You know, when you hear all you know, the stories being told and how talented Alex was, and he really was. He will be greatly missed. And you really, you saw the pain that they were going through. And none of us who came up because we know Alex through the Tom Leica show and the Gary and Dino show, you know, none of us could even experience the pain that they went through. Although I will say the speech from Patty, who has spent time with Alex in her travels. Her speech was very heartfelt and very real and also made me tear up. And then Marshall, who also has spent time with Alex since they both lived in the Bay Area. You know, they went out for drinks, went out to dinner. You know, Alex has been to Marshall's home for the Super Bowl and whatnot. So they were definitely the appropriate representatives of our table to speak about Alex, and their speeches were very, again, very real and very heartfelt. And I got to give props to both of you. It's not easy standing up in front of a crowd, especially a crowd full of Alex's close friends and family, none of whom have seen us in person and many of whom have not even talked to any of us until maybe recently. To hear these strange folks, meaning us, greatly affected by the passing of Alex, to hear what they had to say and hear how real that was, you know, that was very tough to sit through. But at the same time, you know, it was closure. You know, it was great to have the opportunity to be there and to listen to his close friends and family speak and to explain how talented Alex was and how missed he will be. And he absolutely will be. So thanks again for having us there. I know it was very difficult for many people, but I am grateful for the opportunity. Thank you very much. Now it's time to get out of Boston. All right, back to the airport. Same stupid questions. Of course, now the flight is delayed, so you're going to get even more stupid questions. Of course, again, these are the morons with the paper tickets. I knew the flight was delayed first thing in the morning when it popped up right on my app. And it stayed delayed the same time throughout the day. It never increased, thankfully. It was about an hour late. And the reason was because the crew for our flight got into Boston earlier that day. They got in late, so they had to take their required break period up to the time our flight was supposed to go. But at least it was only an hour delay. It wasn't 4 or 5 hours. Poor Patty. She was on a flight that was supposed to leave at about 6 o'clock, about the same time mine was supposed to leave. She was on JetBlue, I think. And her flight, for whatever reason, got delayed until midnight. What the fuck? I mean, I know there was some bad weather in the middle part of the country, but that didn't really screw too many things up. I guess her plane must have broken down. They had to bring in another one. I don't know what the fucking problem was, but poor Patty, she got out of there 6 hours after I did. Better pick a different airline next time there, Patty. All I can say. But again, with the stupid questions, is the flight delayed? Is the flight delayed? Now, this time, it was a little more justified because the information on the screen was wrong. They never said the flight was delayed, although you should have a fucking app or something on your phone by now that tells you if the flight is delayed. All right? Technology has allowed this. So not only it never said the flight was delayed, now the gate agent is putting a post-it note on the screen saying what time it's supposed to leave. And now, assuming our flight has already left, they're putting up the information for the next flight to San Francisco. So now people thinking they've missed the LA flight and the flight's going to San Francisco. Like, no, we're still standing here. You've seen us an hour ago. We're still here. But they're flooding the gate. Is this flight going to reach the flight for LA already leave? Derp. Nope. If you listen to the announcements, you know the flight was still here. It would help if they had the right information on the screen, but again, if you had the information on your phone, like normal people, then you'd know what the deal is. And the same thing, announced pre-board, they all crowd like sardines, and they're trying to tell people, listen, there's not a lot of room, it's a very small terminal, we need the space, get the fuck out of the way. You think they listen to that? Nope, you're fucking pushing and shoving your way through that fucking crowd of idiots to get on board. And again, I picked the exit row, no children's, I got the headphones on anyway. Flight was long as fuck, but no other problems other than that. Now that we got the air travel portion out of the way, let's talk about how weird hotels are these days. Simple things like light switches and bathroom fixtures have become needlessly complicated. They're trying to outdo each other for most unique design in the bathroom, but nobody cares. We don't care about this shit. Just let me turn on the lights and let me get hot and cold water, okay? First thing happens when you get in the hotel. What do? You flick the light switch by the front door and nothing turns on, right? So you got to go around and manually turn on the lights. Shouldn't that be on all the fucking time? And by the way, good luck finding the goddamn switches on those lamps. They're never where you'd expect it to be, right? By the light bulb or at the base of the lamp. No, you got to get your Dick Tracy magnifying glass to find these sons of bitches. Sometimes there are those ones on the cord. And of course, the cord is somewhere down behind the bed or behind the couch or where you can't fucking reach it. Or sometimes the lamp's not even fucking plugged in. I was like, why is it there? Why they got to play these fucking games with you? And you always check in at night when it's pitch black in the room. And then you get in there, it's either too fucking hot or too fucking cold because somebody was fucking with the thermostat before you got in there. Good luck trying to figure that fucking thing out. If you think the temperature on there reflects the temperature in the room, yeah, bullshit. Just there for decoration. You're lucky if the goddamn thing works at all, especially if it's one of those crappy floor model ones. You gotta kick it like an old television set. And speaking of television sets, you know, most hotels now at least have flat screens in there instead of those old Zenith pieces of shit they used to have. But for whatever reason, you know, they have a high-quality TV set with an analog signal from the cable coming in there. So you have a really shitty picture with a decent TV. And of course, there's only 15 channels, you know, nothing you'd ever want to see. And the remote controls, oh yeah, first of all, good luck if they work. You hit power, nothing happens. You ask for more batteries, still nothing happens. And even if you get it to work, you need a fucking hazmat suit to operate that thing because you know how fucking filthy people are. And they don't wash their hands when they use those fucking things. They take a shit, they fucking jerk off, they do everything but wash their fucking hands before using the remote. So either bring your own little universal remote or double bag that fucking palm of yours, all right? Same thing goes for the comforter, and if there's a little couch in there, you know what I mean? They don't clean those, and people fuck on top of those all the fucking time, all right? Just word of warning. Remove that fucking comforter immediately. Don't even sit on that couch. Put your luggage on that thing. Now, you've had a long flight. You know, you want to get into the bathroom and take a shower. But Jesus Christ, is that overly complicated? Look at the controls in the shower. Have you ever seen anything like that? And the fucking shower head is way above your fucking head. I'm tall. I could barely even fucking reach it. And the fucking knob for the shower is convoluted beyond belief. Spin one knob counterclockwise for hot, another one for water pressure, and another one to change from bath to shower, although a lot of these places got rid of the bathtub altogether. And now you're standing in this futuristic pod-looking thing. It looks like that x-ray machine at the TSA line. You know, that one you stand in with your arms above your head? Looks like that fucking thing. I almost stand in that position in the shower, just out of force of habit. And it's not just fancy hotels. Motel 6 and places like that have put showers like that in there now. I think they're so afraid of people drowning in the bathtub. Ever since Whitney Houston and her druggy daughter drowned in the tub, they're afraid anybody could do it now. Hey, we're not all fucking heroin addicts, okay? But out go the bathtubs and in go the complicated showers. So you're taking a shower and you're using the soap imported from French mills. Okay, Yeah, I'm really impressed by that. Give me fucking Irish Spring, all right? Make it fucking simple. Nobody's impressed by fancy fucking soaps. And then we get to the shampoo. You know, it's got cucumber and melon essence. What is this, really? We're not all homosexuals, okay? I don't care if it's a bottle of fucking Prel. And then the sink fixtures are needlessly fancy sometimes. They're all twisty and turny and bend every which way. Is this really necessary? What if hotels become a fucking interior decorating contest, for Christ's sakes? And sometimes the bathroom has the light switch outside the bathroom. So if you're staying with somebody and they walk by and accidentally turn off that light, you trip and fall, break your fucking leg. What is the fucking point of that? Have the fucking switch in the room that it operates. Now you've got one switch that turns on the bathroom lights and the one next to it turns on the garbage disposal and the little kitchen sink. A fucking break. And I love how they put the two bottles of Fiji water. Like, I dare you. I dare you to pick one of these up and drink it. I dare you, motherfucker. You'll be charged $50 per bottle, you idiot. I dare you. Come on. You know you want it. You're thirsty as fuck. That's why we keep it so dry in the room. And these continental breakfasts they have, just get rid of that shit, all right? The best thing there is the cold cereal. I don't know what those eggs are made out of, but I don't want to see the chicken they came from, all right? You're better off just finding a Denny's or something nearby. Skip the continental breakfast unless you want diarrhea for the next day and a half. Especially if you attempt to eat the sausage. I think if you could guess what meat that was actually made of, your stay should be free. I was grateful in Framingham, Massachusetts, where the event was. There was a Dunkin' Donuts right up the street. Now, ordinarily, I'm not a fan of these fucking places that East Coasters love so much, but Dunkin' Donuts are fucking everywhere in Massachusetts. And I was actually happy to find one. Compared to that weak-ass continental breakfast at the hotel, fucking Dunkin' Donuts would be like a prisoner's last meal. What it all boils down to is traveling is a fucking pain in the ass. It used to be sort of an enjoyable experience. But now with all the extra security and the extra cameras and questions and shit you're not allowed to travel with, and just the overall stupidity of the traveling public, it's made it almost unbearable. I think there should be an IQ test before you fly. And if you get below a certain score, on the Greyhound you go. And you families with children, Amtrak, all right? I won't be totally cruel. I won't banish you to the bus. You can take the train. And if you must travel by air with your children, and you somehow pass the IQ test, although I doubt it, you should be charged for each child brought on board. They already charge you for luggage, and food, and drinks, and headphones, and extra legroom, and for fucking seats. Why not charge for each child brought on board? And it's a fucking crying infant? Automatic $200. And increase it by 100 for each fucking one. 300, then 400, then 500. These motherfuckers will think twice before bringing all these rugrats on board. And if, and only if, that happens, we could finally return to flying the friendly skies. Thank you. And on that note, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Let you have it. Yeah. Got to pack my bags. Pay $50 per bag. Call my travel agent. Wait for my paper ticket. Stand in the line at the front. Be on my way. Oh, you mean there's a better way to do it? You mean this isn't 1984? God damn. BigAngryPhil.com is where you can find me at BigAngryPhil.com. If you're fucking around on Facebook and you're sick and tired of everybody's stupid shit, come on over to the Big Angry Phil podcast page. Much less stupid shit on there. Big Angry Phil could be seen on Twitter, on Instagram, not on Snapchat, though, so don't even try. Where can you hear the show? A aside from the aforementioned BigAngryPill.com. Be heard on SoundCloud, on iTunes, and on TuneIn. Make sure to listen to and subscribe to the Tom Likas Show, TomEverywhere.com. Subscribe to and listen to the Gary Adino Show, GaryAdino.com. I am out of here. Be back next week with the call-in show. See ya.